Good morning. Today's message is found in Romans 13, 1 through 7. I don't know, I was probably a lot like most of you when I was a teenager, kind of rebellious. I think my parents probably didn't notice half the stuff I got away with, and so therefore I was always halfway decent, but the fact of it is I was probably doing a lot more things that I probably shouldn't have been doing than I should have been doing at that age. For me, it was all about setting off my own course, figuring out who I was, what life was going to be, who and what I was going to impact in this world. The problem that came down to it, though, was by the time I was 15, 16, I was a very angry young man. I was a man who wanted to sit outside of the norms. I wanted to push back on everything that was given to me. But there was always one part of me, my heart, it was about service. For some reason, I always felt at home in service. I don't know why it was. I always liked to go out and do special events or go out and work with the Red Cross. I ended up joining the Coast Guard Auxiliary at age 16 to go out and do patrols and help out and do things like that. For some reason, service in my heart put a calmness in me when the rest of my life was always pushed against other things. I didn't understand it, though, until I actually joined the military and went to basic training. And suddenly, I was forced to be under submission. I had to follow the rules. I had to play the part. I had to be in my position, do my thing, but do my thing as they commanded. I was pretty lucky. I had some pretty strong drill sergeants who, in the first couple weeks, beat any chance of me having any voice or want to be outrageously on my own. I did a lot of push-ups. I was a pretty strong private when I left basic training. So obviously it must have been a little bit of a discipline issue at the beginning, but not too bad. But what happened was, is through learning that I fit into a system, through understanding that because other people were watching out for something past what I could understand, past what my little mind, my little world was about, I became understanding of the calmness, of the peace inside, that being submissive to a larger cause could bring. Now, this is something that we fight every day in our society. We want to be individuals. We want to be standalones. We want to sit there and stand for something when we don't even know what we want to stand for half the time, or take up a cause when we don't even understand the full meaning behind that cause. I think because God has created us to serve, we all have that in our heart to go out and do something for something greater. But sometimes we lose fact or lose trace of what the real important thing is. Paul in Romans 12 through 15 starts to challenge us that we are called to live in something greater than ourselves. We're called to live in a certain way that shows something about who we are, who we submit ourselves to, and what the kingdom will look like. See, we're to be that picture of what God's love is here on the earth. And Paul is challenging us. He starts by telling us to do different things, to live by these certain ethics that we covered in 12. Then he moves into talking about how our love can't have hypocrisy, that it has to be a genuine love for each other and for all those people that we come across. And that we're to live with peace in our heart. But it's hard to live in peace if we don't follow this next little lesson that Paul teaches us. And that's a lesson on submission to the authorities that are placed around us and above us. And in this particular context, Paul is talking very much about the civil and governmental administrations that are placed around us, those things that we like to push back against the most sometimes or backtalk the most towards. But Paul understands that in order to live a life of peace, to be that love stretch out, we have to also be submissive. So if you could please rise with me as we read chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinances of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authorities? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. And therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. And render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come with a heart of submission to your authority. That authority that stretches past just your kingdom, but into this world. Those things that you set into motion, those powers that you put in place or allow to be in place. Lord God, we just submit ourselves to you and to that which you have created around us. Lord, we can no more fight against your authority than we can fight against gravity or any of the other laws of physics that you've put into place. But Lord, we must first submit, open our hearts to submission, that we may be truly yours, doing what you will, and being part of your body. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Paul starts out by a call to submission. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. That word soul actually spells out psyche. It's not just a person or just the flesh of a person, but the entirety of a person. It's not a part that we can set aside because it's all encompassing. So we can't just give our flesh to the authorities here or the authorities there, but we have to give our whole being. And the word submission, we have to take an understanding too. Submission isn't something that comes from being oppressed or forced. Submission is a heartfelt thing. It is an action that we choose to do. We choose to step past and submit ourselves to the authorities that are around us because of our submission to God. So when we sit there and we say that we must submit, or when Paul tells us that we must submit, he's not saying that the authorities will oppress us or that the authorities will force us. No, he's saying that it's on us to have a submissive heart, to come before and open our heart to allow the authorities to be the authorities above us. It's an internal call. It's the call of the heart. Just as to love genuinely is a call of the heart, to be submissive is a call of the heart. In Titus 3:1, we read, "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey and to be ready for every good work." Here Titus is being commanded to remind the body that he is pastoring, the young Christians that he's raising up, that we have a role to be prepared to do good works. And we can't if we're standing in opposition to the authorities. Because why? When we stand in opposition to the authorities that are around us directly, they're going to hamper our ability to do work. They're going to hamper us by putting us in jail. They're going to hamper us by doing those things that governments do to keep order in a community. See, Paul wasn't saying that we have to be submissive, that we have to agree with all that governments do. He's not saying that we have to come into alignment and follow step, and goose step our way around the communities. But what we have to do is we have to come into submission with love in our heart. We have to not go against what the authorities are saying and cause conflict and chaos, because God has placed those authorities there to help maintain order so that there isn't anarchy. He's placed those authorities so that there's a semblance of law and safety for the body of all. See, a government isn't charged to tell you what's right and wrong morally. They're there to make sure that what the community has decreed as being morally right and wrong is maintained. See, law enforcement officers nowadays, or militaries in other countries, they don't necessarily, I won't say that in all countries, some countries are pretty harsh, but in most of the countries that we look at as being a proper authority, they only catch up with you when you step out of line. Why? Because they aren't there to enforce their moral judgments upon you. They're there to take the societal moral judgments and put those into place and utilize those that order may be maintained. And Paul's saying that when we come under submission to them, we allow for that order to continue. In 1 Peter 2:13, we get a better picture of this. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to the governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Here we get a little bit deeper understanding of what it means that what the authorities are there to do. And by us being in submission to them, we actually praise and honor God because we truly understand his sovereign hand in controlling. When we step back and we look at this, it says in here, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. See, our government takes those who do those evil things. Murder, stealing, and all the other ugly things that you can think of. We, as a people, do not stand against that. The government stands against that. Our government in the United States stands to protect us from the outlying threats that are out there in the world that they perceive or that we perceive. Therefore, by them taking up that responsibility, you, as people of the American states, I'm going to break this down a little bit, because our states have a role in this too, but as the United States of America, as we come under the federal concourse of protection from external or external, moving down to the state for the internal threats, you as people do not have to take up your hand and go against those really bad things. The government does that as a whole. But the government also praises those who do good. Think about how many times we see governments stand up, especially in Portage. They do a pretty good job for people who do great things in the community. And they hold up and they give them certificates of appreciation for good stewardship or good citizenship. See, so the government is there to recognize the threats and recognize the positives and to enforce both of them. Enforce our wants against the evildoers and to praise those who do good. And while we may not agree at every last step, we do come under agreement that without a government, without laws, without all these other expectations of order, chaos would surely ensue. And because of that, we should be thankful for the authorities that are placed around us. Because most of us can look on CNN and see places that are in total chaos, that don't have authority, don't have enforcement, don't have praise of what's going on that's good. And there's mass famine and death and genocide and all these other nasty terms that we roll into it because there is no authority. There is no one authority overwatching everybody. So when it says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, we move into the next standard. That God's sovereign hand is in all things. See, as Christians, we can easily step back and understand whose hand is truly on the wheel or at the controls. But we have to be willing to submit that God will allow for that stuff. And that we may not understand, but in his sovereign hand and his will and his plan for where the future is, he does stop for a second and allow other things to happen. In Job 1:12, we get an interesting comment. I think sometimes we gloss over it, not understanding it, but it's a conversation between Satan and God about Job, and God's talking up Job saying, hey, this is a man of God. He's my man. He's faithful to me. And Satan brings up an interesting point. Well, if you would stop babying him, if you would stop giving him such protection, and he would turn his back on you in an instant. So in verse 12 of chapter 1, we read, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. Here he sends that in two after Satan does take everything from Job but his health. And Satan layers it again and says, hey, yeah, but he still has his health, so he still looks at you. And so God says, fine, take his health then too. See, sometimes we forget that God allows other powers to have a say so that his will can be met, that his glory can be held up. But it is still God who allows for it. It is his sovereign hand that controls. It is his hand that is guiding it, shaping it, moving it forward. And while other things may impact it and other things may shape it, it is for his glory that that is happening. That's hard to understand some days, that God would allow Satan to have his will for a moment so that God's glory in the end can be everlasting. It's hard for us to understand that God would sometimes allow things to go contrary to what his word says or what he so obviously has this to direct us to do, simply for understanding that later on his glory will be greater. But the fact is when our lives are going well, Satan says it well. Of course he loves you, God. He has no reason not to. So God every once in a while steps back and says, my will happen. I know that. But it is a time for them to understand. See, Israel, the chosen nation, wasn't always under God's grace, was he? No. Every once in a while, they came under God's judgment for turning their back on God. Christians were warned about that also, that as we turn our back, we move further and further away, and it's harder and harder to accept him again because the word of the flesh becomes too powerful. And those who are strong believers sometimes stray and do major sins. Now, that doesn't mean we can't turn back to God. It doesn't mean that there isn't a path back to Christ. But what it means is that we have to understand that there's an allowance for us to turn so that we may understand just what it means to have God and his authority in our lives. Paul is making a strong argument here that unless we come under submission under whatever God has allowed, then we're just in resistance to him. Verse 2, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinances of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. See, if we truly believe that our God is an all-powerful God, that his hand is in all things, that his will is the end state of all that takes place, then we have to understand that whether we agree with what's going on in our communities, whether we agree with what's going on in government and those authorities placed around us and above us, that his hand is the controlling measure of that. Whether it's through the allowance of letting Satan input his wisdom or lack of wisdom into it, or whether it's God's hand directing it directly, we have to be ready to submit to God's authority and what he's allowing to happen around us. Now he promises us here through verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. This was a little bit of a question in my heart. I'm like, how does that work? Okay, so we have a government that's obviously against, not saying right now, but so you're in a government situation that's obviously against what Christ is teaching us and what God has proclaimed in his word and through his creation. What does it mean that they're there for the good and that they won't push against us when we try to bring the truth, but that they'll recognize good works when it's time for it to happen? And then I started understanding what it meant to have this freedom and submission. That as the authorities are there to do good and to support what is good, and here in verse 4, for he is God's minister to you for good, but if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. I started to understand this when I started seeking out Daniel. See, when we, with a heart of love and peace, submit ourselves to those authorities. It doesn't say that we have to submit what's right, or that we have to be oppressive of what's right. We can still speak the truth, but if we do it with love and if we do it in peace and we bring forth the truth, then the truth can be heard. Because those authorities will understand what is good and they'll understand what is evil. They'll understand the differences of how we present. When you go to a council meeting or you sit there and you watch, C-SPAN, that's it. If you watch government arguments in the chambers and you hear people screaming and hollering, it may make for a good show, but very seldom do you understand what their point is. But then there's the person who comes forward with peace and has compassion on their hearts and lays out their story, and you're like, that's a good point, because you were able to receive it. And whether you agree with it or not, the message that they have to give is heard. So we can stand and we can beat our fists and we can pound and we can cry and we can sit there and accuse all things, and people are just going to hear it as what it is, noise. But if we deliver the message in love, if we come forth in truth with compassion and peace, then people will take the time to hear what we're teaching and hearing what the truth behind it is. And whether they come into agreement or not, that's between them and the Holy Spirit and God. But they'll hear the message. And we know, because each of us that are sitting here that proclaim Christ understand that when you hear the message, there's no such thing as it not having impact in your life. So Paul argues that we must do good, that we must have this love and peace. In Daniel, we see two examples of this, where believers in Christ are actually persecuted, or believers in God are persecuted. In two separate times, three of them are put into flames because they will not submit to the gods that the king is asking them to submit to. They will not bow down before. But they don't stand up and they don't cause revolt. They don't stand up. They simply say, we may not, for we do not believe in your gods. And they're put to the fiery test, and God honors them for being God-fearing men. But the change of it is beautiful. In both cases, Daniel in the pit and the three in the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are all magnified and brought up and elevated for their faith. And because of their faith, because of their willingness to be persecuted against and saved by God, the king finds honor in their God and raises them and elevates them in authority because of the strength of their God. They submitted to the authorities of the government around them, and they sought salvation through God and not through their own makings. They allowed for the persecution to happen. They didn't run. They didn't hide. They simply went and took the punishment. And in the process of doing so, were raised up and made leaders. And God was honored through men who did not believe in God prior to the events. See, the beauty is when we submit ourselves to the authorities and we do so with love in our heart, we don't have to stop giving the message. We don't have to stop being the deliverer of truth. In fact, we're still called to do those things. We're still called to be the voice of reason, the voice of truth, the voice that brings the light to this dark world. But you can still deliver a message of truth and hope in submission, to not stand against and raise up arm against the government, whether you agree with it or not. And the reason we can do this, the reason that this works so well, is because when we do so, when we bring the truth, when we honor God, glorify God in all that we do, then God has the final say. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience's sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. And render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. When we honor God by being submissive to those authorities that are around us, we honor God by bringing his message, by being his envoy, his ambassador to a situation that may or may not be honoring him. But we also honor by understanding his sovereign hand and the control of this world. Think of how strong of a message it is when you can sit back and be submissive to something that you don't agree to. It doesn't mean that you don't voice your opinion against it. It doesn't mean that you allow for it to influence. Daniel didn't sit there and say, well, you want me to pray to these gods, so I'll pray to these gods. No, he said, I cannot do that. But I understand that that's against your ruling, and I'll accept whatever that punishment is, because I accept that God has placed you here. I accept that God controls your life whether you understand it or not. I accept that God's sovereign hand is in control of all things and that his will be the end point that we all reach. And I accept that whether you understand that or not as a believer or a non-believer, I'm okay with what God has placed around me. I have peace in my heart because I know God is in control. And I will love you because God's hand is on this, and I am called to be God's love here. This is the message that we bring when we come in submission. Not to be weak, not to be trampled on, but to be bold in the proclamation of the truth, to be steadfast in love that we're to share, and to have a heart of peace, but to do so in submission. To do so in a way that proves that we believe deep in our hearts that God is in control. In our Constitution, it says that there's a separation from church and state. It does not say that the church does not exist. It does not say that we can't stand up for what we believe. It does not say that we can't even talk about what we believe. It simply says that the state has a different function than the church. The state is there to uphold the authority and the rulings that the society has brought forth. The church has been tasked with living an ethical and a moral life so that we can be the light in this world and show it the truth. We submit to God's authority over all, first and foremost. We submit to those governments around us because God asks us to trust in him. And so when we render our taxes or we render our due customs, or we offer up a reverent and fearful heart, or we give honor to a person because of what their place is in government, we do so with love. We do so understanding that God's hand is in that moment, that God has set forth the course whether all those things know it or not, because we believe in a God who is all-present and all-powerful. We believe in a God who is willing to sacrifice himself on a cross that we may be whole, that we may have something deeper in us than the flesh could ever provide. We're warned that if we operate outside of the authorities, then we operate outside of God's ordinances. And to resist God's ordinances is to resist God himself. And what happens when we resist God but bring judgment upon ourselves? But when we follow God, when we submit ourselves to his ordinances, and we do good by what he has declared good, then even the authorities, whether they are godly or not, will still find good works in what we do. And then we point in a direction that has positiveness, has hope, and creates strength. Our government likes to stand on its soapbox and say that we want to bring equal rights and that we want to bring good things to all these other nations. But my argument is, isn't that the church's job? Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing, is bringing the truth and the light to this world? Is that not what we've been called to do, is go and make disciples in all the nations? The problem all too often is that we step back and we submit that call that God has given us and allow the governments to try to do it when it was never the government's job to share the truth with the world. The government is there to control peace and law and order. It's the church's job to bring hope. And all too often we step back and we look for hope in a government that was never designed to bring hope. All too often we count on some organization to take up the banner of happiness and missing the word right now. And completion in our lives, instead of letting God be that in our lives. And then we wonder why our government struggles so much. We wonder why there's a discourse between it. The government was never meant to be our hope. It was merely meant to be an instrument to ensure that there was order and peace. God is our hope. The church is what delivers it through our obedience and through our submission to the ordinances of God, through His authority. So I challenge each and every one of us that if we are truly going to let all that we do be for the glory of God, that we must submit, but we must submit with truth in our hearts and truth in our words, truth in the directions that we set, to be bold in the proclamation that when there is a truth that needs to be spoken, that we do so, but with peace and love, so that our message can be heard for what it is, not just seen as anger or oppression. Because the message that we deliver is a message that brings hope. And even a government or as Paul puts it here, the governing authorities understand what good looks like. And as we live that out in our lives, in our communities, they will recognize it, and they'll see it for what it is, and they'll give it praise. And when they give it praise, we can give it to God and praise God for the allowance of it. And they will hear it and see the strength and the truth that is in it. For we're not called to simply be doormats for people to walk on, but simply to be subject, to open our hearts and be subject to the authorities placed above us under the ordinances of God and His controlling hand. So please, 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 please take a moment in your week to kneel, to stand, to pray, however you feel comfortable doing so, that you will submit to the ordinances that God has set forth for you, that you'll find submission, not because of what the law says or because of what governments say, but because you understand God's hand in the placement of those. Find comfort to know that God has allowed all things to happen for His purpose and for His good. For even those who don't understand what good is will recognize it when they see it. And when we submit to God and His sovereign hand, well then we can truly be the bearers of His love and His true message. Because people will hear what we have to say, and they will respect us for understanding And they won't understand why we understand that we have to give our lives to submission. But they'll see it and they'll start asking questions. They'll open the door that we may communicate with them and show them why we have that understanding, why we can submit when we don't necessarily agree, why we can stand in disagreement and still have love and compassion in our hearts. Because all too often that is lost in disagreement. And we stand and people beat their chests and make loud noises. And all we see is anger and frustration. When simply sitting back and having a submissive heart and sharing the truth and doing what is good and right makes the message heard. So when Paul says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." Every time that we submit and every time that we share in love the truth, we point to the fact that we believe that our God is the authority of all and that His hand is the guiding direction and is the power that is at base. And that while He has allowed that government or that authority to have their say or their moment, that is all it is a fleeting moment. And that His will and His good will be the end state, and that we have peace and comfort and hope in what will come because we know that God is the authority that reigns over us. And that is the message we bring through submission. A handing of glory to God for His rightful place at the head of our lives instead of a quiet and submissive heart that sits Him back, because our submission is not quiet but a submission to His authority and His truth in our lives. So stand proud of the truth that He has given us. Share with love and compassion the truth that He has given us. But do so with a submissive heart so that God's glory can be seen by all and His message may be heard and that the truth may reign and that hearts will be changed. Because that is how we give glory through submission. As people stand up and accept Christ and as they come to understand His truth and the wisdom behind it and surrender their lives to His authority, and His kingdom grows here in the flesh through His Holy Spirit. That's the victory. For the submission and the authority that we come under is the blood of Christ. He is our master. And our debts have been paid by His sacrifice and His blood. And so therefore, submit so that the authorities may understand who the true authority is. Jesus Christ in our lives. There is no good way to end this one other than taking it out and living a life that shows that you understand what it means to be submissive to God. To understand that His authority is above all things. In order to do that, we need to take the lessons we learned over the last 2 weeks and love without hypocrisy and genuinely. And to be diligent and be fervent in spirit. To live a life that portrays what Christ's teachings were. That shows that we are true Christians. That we may rejoice in the hope and be patient during our trials. Because we understand His sovereign hand and control of all things that happen around us. But mostly to be that person of peace so that they may hear the message. Do you want to live that life? Do you want to show that you're submissive to the authority that's above you in Christ? I hope you're all answering yes. But that means that we have to step back and die a little bit ourselves and stop pursuing our authority or looking for truth in authorities around us, but to turn back to the truth that's given to us in Scripture and holding fast to all those things that we're taught are right and good and excellent and holy, and to be okay with being under the authorities that are around us, trusting that God is at the wheel and leading the direction that we're going. For when we live a life like that, then we can promise ourselves that we are giving all to God's glory instead of trying to seek it ourselves or find favor in man. For when we can submit to even those things that we disagree, we show that we trust in God. We show that we are His children, and that He is a God worthy of honoring, trusting, and submitting to. I'd like to end in prayer. If you'd like to come forward and join me at the altar, I want to take a moment just to pray that submissive prayer that He needs to flood in to our lives, more so now than ever before. So why don't we bow our heads? If you want to come forward, please do so. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne. And it is a throne because You do rule. Your hand controls all things. You created all things. You direct all things. And You allow all things. Lord God, we ask that You open our hearts that we may understand what it means to be submissive to Your authority in whatever form it takes. We're called to honor You, to never give up that honor towards You, to hold fast to our truths that You have given us, and to never deny Your name. But when this world pushes against us, when it tells us that it's foolishness or that we should not honor Your name, all that we can do is submit to Your authority and to honor Your name fully and completely and to accept whatever punishment may come against us. For You've placed that government or that authority over us for protection and for hedging, for order, but also sometimes, Lord, to show glory towards You in opposition, to speak the truth when the truth is not found. And Lord God, we submit to whatever that authority may do to us as we honor Your name, as we hold fast to Your truths, for You are the true authority in our lives. And we submit ourselves and we lay ourselves before Your throne, for we know that we are in communion with You, that we are together with You through Jesus Christ, through God the Son. And He is our authority. Through Him and by Him, the truths that You have given have authority here on earth. And that is the authority that we fall before. That is the authority that we answer to, and that is the authority that we uphold. And we will have a submissive heart to all the authorities that You allow, but we will never submit our hearts to anyone but You. Lord God, we pray this to have the strength to hold this through Your Holy Spirit and have the courage and the wisdom to follow through with it when the time comes, so that You and You alone will have the glory here in the flesh and in heaven forever and ever. Amen.